Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, and in the equal rights of men and women, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. Whereas the member states have pledged themselves to achieve, in cooperation with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge. Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of member states themselves and among the peoples of territories in their jurisdiction. What are these basic human rights, as declared by this historic document? Are we so concerned with our affairs of the moment, the noonday meal, the daily paper, that we cannot take time to think a bit about these rights? Rather, the question which we face today as a nation is whether we can rise above the ease and comfort that our way of life has brought us and concern ourselves with those goals for which our forefathers gave their lives. The freezing cold of North Korea is as bitter to the GI as was that of Valley Forge to Washington's men. Death is as final to a wounded doughboy to whom a communist Chinese has set the torch, as it was to Patrick Henry when he said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains or slavery? Forbid, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Everyone, asserts the Declaration of Human Rights, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the security of person. To the slave laborer in a Siberian concentration camp, it says, "No one shall be held in slavery or servitude." To the victims of the Soviet secret police, it says, "No one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment." To a Judith Copland, it says, as our own federal court has just said, "No one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest," and "all are equal before the law." Remembering the victims of Nazi sterilization, it promises that men and women of full age, without any limitation due to race, nationality, or religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. To the Catholic victims of communist religious oppression, it promises, everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. To those cut off from communication with the Western world behind the Iron Curtain, it declares, everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. To the regimented, policed voting of communist regimes. To the peoples of East Berlin, East Germany, and Korea, it proclaims, "The will of the people shall be the basis of authority of government. This will shall be expressed in periodic and genuine elections, which shall be by universal and equal suffrage, and shall be held by secret vote, or by equivalent free voting procedures." To submerged groups, it says, "Everyone, as a member of society, has the right to social security and is entitled to realization through national effort and international cooperation and in accordance with the organization and resources of each state of the economic, social, and cultural rights indispensable for his dignity and the free development of his personality. To everyone everywhere, it declares, everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. Today, we are confronted with the question whether we shall hold to those ideals. As to that question, there can be but one answer. We shall. But there is an even more fundamental and important question than that. Can we? To that, with equal confidence, I answer, we can. For there is a strength in an association of free nations freely trying to achieve the values and goals of freedom that has twice been tried in the crucible of a world war within our generation and has come through victorious. The freedom of the peoples of the Western world to participate in a rich, varied, and strong institutional life brings to them a strength greater than the strength of fear and torture on which the totalitarian world relies. A vision and a way of life that have endured over 2,000 years will not perish from this earth overnight. The vision did not die when Greece and Rome fell to the barbarian hordes of the East. And the vision shall not die today when the West is again confronted with the massed and brutal military power of the East. Today, for the first time since the War of 1812, we are faced with foreign attack within our borders. The burning of Washington in that war united our people in their defense. Today, atomic attack and destruction faces our cities. We must stand united. It is no time for recrimination. It is no time for division. It is no time for politics. If we stand firm and united, the sweep of the historic forces expressed in the Declaration of Human Rights and the movement of the peoples of the world to attain those rights will not be stopped. At the end of his first term of office as president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, with prophetic insight, said, "There is a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny. In this world of ours, in other lands, there are some people who in times past have lived and fought for freedom and seem to have grown too weary to carry on the fight. Our only success can stir their ancient hope. It is this ancient hope of man of which the Declaration of Human Rights becomes the beacon in a dark and sorry world. It is the voice of Walt Whitman, the poet of democracy, speaking. Each of us inevitable. Each of us limitless. Each of us with his or her right upon the earth. Each of us allowed the eternal purports of the earth. Each of us here as divinely as any is here. By God, I will accept nothing which all of us cannot have their counterpart on the same terms. The peoples of Western Europe are tired of war. The peoples of Asia are tired of war. The peoples of this hemisphere do not find in war their way of life. If there is any one cause of the communist onslaught that now confronts us, it is our precipitate disarmament and return to the ways of peace after World War II, while the communist world continued implacably to build its military strength. These times of war are indeed times to try the souls of men. But united in defense, free peoples will once again show the strength that lies in freedom and in societies dedicated to the preservation of human rights.